Hell, I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Now I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world as well. And I believe it could be someday it's going to come. Just out on the edge of dark, there rides a peace train.
Welcome, everyone. This is Sasha, SashaTalks.com. Today, we're going to focus on time. Before I proceed, keep in mind that all content is subject to the terms of service and disclaimers of Sasha Talks. The topic was inspired from several years ago when I was invited to participate as a guest on a live morning talk show. And the two guests, the two hosts, happen to entertain the concept and the debate over time. What is time? What is the perception of time? Can time stop? Who came up with the concept of time? And for the sake of simplicity, I'm going to keep it topical, and people are welcome to reflect upon their relationship with time. What is time? And this is something I had also shared with the audiences at that time, that it has to do with ongoing sequence of events. And we use the concept of time that most people identify with as numerical, the clock, the calendar. Time itself is used to quantify events. For example, when you were born, when you will celebrate your birthday next, certain milestones in your life, it could be from an anniversary, when will a forthcoming event take place. And time is different based off cultures, religions, different parts of the world where they rely on seasons. And you have to keep in mind, there are different types of clocks that keep track of the sequence of events called time. It could be your internal clock. Your mind is conditioned to just know. Your body is conditioned to know. Now, when I use the word condition, it means that most likely people have trained themselves. An example of, you go to bed a certain time and you wake up at a certain time. You may not necessarily rely on a clock or an alarm to wake you up because your body has an internal mechanism that you have trained that it intuitively knows time to get up. And keep in mind, that's just on a simple level. Then there are the external clocks that we have from the calendars, the Mayan calendar, the Christian calendar. For example, the Islamic calendar goes off the lunar system, the moon. And then there are fast-paced environments and cultures that put a lot of emphasis on timeliness, for example, in Japan. And then there are environments that focus on a more slow pace. And slow pace doesn't necessarily mean slow living, but in the slow pace environment, those clocks are dictated by events and people's personality. If you get invited to attend an event, based off the personalities hosting and the guest list, people will show up. When they get there, they get there. And the event will organically begin when people get there. And it will end when it just feels right that people have bonded over the mission of that event. It could be a family dinner. It could be a social gathering. It could be a professional commitment in some cultures. Keep in mind how business is conducted within North America, the United States specifically. It may vary from other parts of the world. And then there are clocks that are described as long past. For example, cultures that put a lot of emphasis on the history, the past, and they keep the past alive. For example, China and Italy, if you study their history culturally and from other angles, there's a lot of past and rich variables that they keep integrating into their present and aspire to keep alive in the future. And then in the present tense, the cultures that do their best to live in the moment, seize the day, you only live once, happens to be Latin American and African cultures. They're going to focus more on the now, the present. They're not thinking about the past, what happened 2,000 years ago. They may not even be thinking about what happened 20 years ago. They are cognizant of their identity and how the past has brought them to the present, but they're going to nurture what is in front of them. And then there are future-prone environments and countries like the United States, or depending on how long, whether people were born here, raised here, they work here, they know that society conditions us to aspire for the future. You could do more. Think about what tomorrow will bring. And as much as that has its time and place and value, then people don't put too much emphasis on the past. It's good to know how the past has brought you to the present. And even the future at one point in time will take place in the present. But when we obsess over the future more than looking at things of what are we doing today, what is in front of us, life will pass you by. So of course, it comes down to people's experiences and their perspectives. And based off how you were raised, you might have a different point of view on time. Now, is time valued the same by everyone on the planet? Obviously not, based off some of the examples I shared earlier. The rhetorical question I have for you is time controlling you? Some people compete with time, but they feel rushed when they look at the time, the literal time, the clock, the calendar, and they have to get things done. Of course, there's a time and place. If you have deadlines for the obligation you take on, it would be a good idea to pace yourself. But when you allow time to control every single detail and decision of your life, then it can become a concern. What is your relationship of time? There are people I meet and they go, I create time. And the more you come to understand how resources, abundance, and money works, when you hear that, you understand that I go out and create time. I go out and buy time, because time should be valued more, in my opinion. Worship time, not money. There's so many people that worship money and they chase money. And there's a lot wrong with that concept when you think about it. Why chase things when you could attract them, which could be a whole different conversation. And also, when you worship time, you're increasing the value of your time. If you're worshiping money, you're going to be bleeding so much time just to chase and make money. And you're going to be that hamster on a wheel, because there are prerequisites in understanding how money flows, what money is. And it's as the goalpost of making money keeps on getting moved. With anything that you chase in life, you're going to be chasing it forever. Even if you get some of it, it's not going to be within your reach for too long. I had shared this in an anecdote in one of my talks probably a few weeks ago. I had crossed paths with another business professional, and I forgot we were talking about wellness and just life in general and how people have changed their priorities given the nature of the recent events in the last few years, which is a good thing as long as people made healthier changes in their life. And he mentioned that people have a tendency of chasing things. And I told him, the only thing that is cute to chase is a two-year-old baby. You'll enjoy it. You'll have fun. But that's the only thing that you should enjoy chasing. Everything else that you chase in life, you're going to be on that track that you're going to end up self-sabotaging your well-being, your priorities. And as much as you start acquiring some pieces of what you're chasing, you're deviating from the main aspects of life, where life should be measured by experiences and not time. One of the common questions that I would get very early on, and it has subsided for the most part, but that's also because of the type of clientele base that I work with, is when people have goals or they have desires or they're planning for a certain milestone in their life, they want to know, when will it happen? That's a fair question. But if you understand the concept of time, time can be a certain date on the calendar. It could be a certain time on the clock, just because the alarm will go off or that time will come to pass. that day on that calendar will come to pass. Doesn't mean that just because that perception of the measurement of time is there, that the event has taken place. Keep in mind that all of us on earth are born with the gift of free will. There, all of us have to make decisions in order to thrive. Granted, we're of sound mind and health. And within those decisions, there are so many micro decisions that we make every day. An average person makes probably 3 to 4 figures worth of micro decisions every day, and they don't even think about it because they're only focusing on those big monumental decisions that will dictate the next few days of their life, the next few months. It might be for their career. It might be for their family, how they live, their home. But keep in mind, when will it happen? There are events that have to unfold in your path, and they may require your participation. If you are planning on starting a business, for example, what are you doing about it? You can't just sit there and pray it into your life. And this is coming from somebody who does respect prayer, but it's one thing to think about it. It's another thing to plan it. Then once you plan it, what are you going to do? You have to put the plan to use. You need to activate it. You need to execute the plan through action. And then through action, you will see how things are planning out to see what the next steps are. Now, when it comes to manifestation, I highly recommend that if you have certain goals, and I'm not talking about milestones, I'm talking about goals or day-to-day stuff, make sure that you apply a benchmark of time, that I would like to launch this project within the next 45 days by this given date. Now, just because you set the date doesn't mean it's going to happen. A lot will go on between now and the 45 days to make sure that on launch day, you have substance, a substantial delivery to share with the world. So when is dictated half by you, your efforts, your actions, and if these are goals that integrate the cooperation and participation of anyone other than you, it also is dependent upon their effort, their action, and granted that they will pull their weight in this formula that you're trying to bring to life. So when is dictated by events, unfolding of events, because time can come and go. You could go to anybody for prediction. People could predict, but they get so hung up on predictions that they forget what the goal is and they stop making sense because they're obsessing over the watch. Like at 9 p.m., this is going to happen. In 9 days, I'm going to get this in my mailbox. There are so many things that will happen over the progression of the event. What if the event starts, but it doesn't come to a close? What if you're expecting mail, a very specific letter in your mailbox in 9 days? The person that's sending you the letter worked on it. They put it together. And let's say, hypothetically, they forgot to mail it out. There will be a delay. It may come a few days later. They might need a reminder. What if you have an appointment, but it's online, offline, and you show up at the appointment and there are technical difficulties and you need technology in order for that appointment to take place? There may be a delay. And keep in mind, the good thing about the when part is things can happen sooner if people involved in that mission and event are proactive, and granted they are genuine in their effort, because if you manipulate stuff, that could happen sooner or later. But anything that is manipulated, I will tell you that you're just cheating yourself out of a sustainable outcome. It will be short-lived. So keep in mind the when question, when will this happen? There have to be a series of events that unfold. But another example, and then I'm going to move on. If you have an exam to take for a credential, you already know the date ahead of time. Now you have the free will to decide, are you going to prepare for it? Are you going to study for it? And are you going to show up on the day that you have to take the exam in order to complete that goal? The day can come and go, but for one reason or another, you might have an emergency and you don't show up. So remember, don't get fixated on dates and time. The clock itself. It's a good way of measuring productivity. It's not a bad thing. But when you start developing this relationship with the numbers staring back at you and you haven't done anything to develop yourself as that time comes to pass, then it has no value of knowing when something will happen. Because just because you're given the day or the time doesn't mean it's going to happen. Because there are things that get planned, but they also get canceled. So there may be no event taking place later in time. Now, keep in mind that there is always a trade-off when you make a decision when it comes to time. At this moment, I knew that this evening I'm going to be talking to all of you. Therefore, I'm not going to be attending an event that is being hosted by a family member. I could show up late, but I'm here with the audience tonight. For every decision you make, there's going to be an opportunity cost. You're not going to get your time back to go off to an alternate reality the same evening, the same hour. My question to you is, what are you willing to give up? What is the price that you're willing to pay to get what you want? And I admire people who know themselves well enough that they have an idea of their negotiable and non-negotiables. And when I say the price, that price is not always paid in money. That price can be paid in time. That price could be paid through your health. You know what you're seeking at that given moment in time of your life, and you're going to make the appropriate investments. And I often talk about investment versus expenses. An investment is where you get a return on what you invested, whether you're investing yourself, your ability, your emotions. Expenses where you're just throwing your time, money, yourself into a black hole, and you may not get the outcome you desire, or it may be an outcome that you're cheating yourself out of a better life. For example, when you go grocery shopping, I don't look at it as it's expense. I look at it as it's an investment. I'm investing in nourishing my body. Of course, life is short. You should enjoy yourself a little bit with yummy treats, but overall, when I go grocery shopping, it's an investment. When I'm driving out to a destination, I would say whether I'm going for pleasure or a commitment, 98% of the time I'm investing myself to drive to that destination. Therefore, anyone who needs to pick up the fuel tab, you know it's an expense or an investment given what are you doing with your car and where are you going. When it comes to people, who are you investing your time in? Are they people that are nurturing your well-being? Are you investing your time in doing charity? What are you doing that makes your time worthwhile? Now, if you're just spending your time engaging in an unproductive activity, even though it brings you pleasure, that's fine. I do believe in self-care, but let's say you made a habit of just watching TV for 10 hours a day just because you don't have any desire to do anything else. You're already cutting off at least about 40% of your day. And all of us are given 24 hours in a day. None of us are more special than the other, more or less. It's 24 hours in a day, and everybody budgets that allotted time differently. That could be dictated by the number of obligations between home, family. If you happen to work, you might go out and work out, self-care time. You might have hobbies, your social life. For everybody, it's different. It's not the same formula. It's not the same ratio. You should not feel bad. As long as you know that you're the owner of your time, you're the conductor, and you decide how you're investing it. Ask yourself, are you investing in your time or are you just wasting it away until something better comes along? And I will tell you, with that mindset, you're going to cheat yourself because when people are waiting for something better to come along and then they will change their ways, it doesn't happen that way. You have to change your mindset, how you speak of your goals and your time. Even if it's joking around and you're trashing time, that is being imprinted in your brain and it does not yield a good side effect down the road. So pay attention to your thoughts, pay attention to how you speak of time, how you start speaking about time, how you apply time, and then you will see, start seeing small movement and then progress. And don't get too excited over movement because movement is not the same as progress. And keep in mind that not all progress is good. Therefore, you have to maintain a conscious effort when you're seeking a change. And for anyone who encounters fear of missing out, I didn't know what FOMO was until a few years ago. And I learned it through a few business professionals because there are personalities in general. You don't need to have a profession where they want to be a part of everything out there. They want their DNA all over those things. I want to be part of that event. I want to be here, there. I want to be at all places at all time. Depending on who you are, there might be instances where you do need to appear, but in reality, no one is that important that you are needed 365, 24/7 at all places at all time. The fear of missing out itself could sabotage your well-being, your self-care, and the value of your time. Pick what is important to you at that given season of your life and focus on those things and do your best to keep no more than three, four things on your list if they all happen to be new. If you're integrating a new priority, then of course there's a learning curve. Focus on it. But don't try to do 10 things at the same time when it comes to priorities. You want to make progress. Now, how much would you pay for an hour of productivity? How much would you pay for an hour of your productive time? There's one thing as return on investment, and then there's return on time invested. In some work environments, you get paid to show up. They're not paying attention to whether you produce. You're sitting there at your desk. And then you can hear the whispers of, hey man, look busy, look busy. And that's all you're doing, posturing. And then in other places, your value for that hour doesn't matter if you get paid hourly, salaried, or any other structure that is arranged for compensation. Your value is created with time. So ask yourself, given the nature of the jobs that you may participate in, or it could be activities. Not everybody has a job out there. Everybody has time, but they manage it differently. Whether you're running a home, whether you're running a business, whether you're taking care of your children, whether you are a writer out there knocking out projects, whether you are a student, an academic, and you're figuring out which path you want to pursue. Ask yourself, how can I increase the value of my time? Because as you increase the value of your time, some people may think, oh my God, that means that I'm going to be doing even more work over the long period of time. No, as you increase the value of your time, one of the positive side effects, if you do it responsibly, is that you get time back. You do more in a shorter period of time. And increasing the value of time should not be mixed up with hustle culture. Where hustle culture over the last decade, I've noticed that there have been plenty of critics that have surfaced and they point out the loopholes in it. But the hustle culture, they celebrate success, ambition, productivity, all of the good stuff. But often it comes at the expense of burnout and self-care. When you're increasing the value of time, you're also increasing the possibility and opportunity of welcoming more time back that can be invested in self-care. And it doesn't matter who it is, because there are people out there that I've met who do not prioritize self-care at all in their life. But remember, you have free will. And regardless of how many things you have on your plate, you could rearrange the priorities of that to start taking care of yourself. Now, oftentimes, the value of time gets compromised because of poor planning. When we don't plan or we plan very poorly, I'm going to play it by ear. I'll get back to you. Context matters. You're inviting more room for distractions, whether those distractions come in people, electronically, or you might be a distraction to yourself because there might be some behavioral modifications needed to become, excuse me, a bit more disciplined. Not everybody likes that word. It's not a bad word. To a certain degree, having some form of structure, a baseline of structure, can help you. It can only help you. Instead, a solution that can be implemented is focus time. You don't need to be managing your calendar to do this. It's not something fancy for someone listening out of the blue. I often say, I don't care how pretty your calendars look, how organized, all of that, those things do matter. But you can plan all you want, but the real value of that calendar is extracted when you have to execute your day-to-day agenda. There are going to be days where you get through only 30% of your agenda because life happens in front of you. You're going to be hovering like a helicopter and going to what needs attention. And in order to do well with your agenda and execute it and yield results, you don't want to just go down a checklist bragging that you got all of it done. But if you had to recall, what did you do? What did you produce? What were the results? I don't want to be looking at somebody who's just glassy-eyed and blank because they went through the action, but they were not present in the activity. If you schedule focus time, it could be, let's say, for some people, it might be 2 hours in the beginning of the day or the end of the day. They know, given the nature of the environment where they participate, what days, what time of the day would be good that they block off. It could even be at home to take care of yourself, whether it's reflection time, knocking out your agenda, your to-do list, planning for the future. It could be for the week or upcoming events on the horizon. You could take care of errands. Your focus time doesn't mean that you have to be chained by a desk, but the whole point of focus time is you are focusing on things that require attention, focus, action to yield productivity. And there are going to be days where you're going to make progress, but you're going to go, I didn't make it to the finish line. It's okay because the more you do it, it serves as practice. Now, there was a very interesting article I had come across, and it references the author Stephen Kotler, who is the author of The Rise of Superman. And in there, he talks about a study where people could increase the value of their hour by 500%. And that study focuses on executives. We have to remember the objective of increasing the value of your time monetarily. The objective is not burnout. And the only way you could create value for your time is by becoming self-aware. Ask yourself, what are you doing in the present moment? What are the activities that you do from the time you wake up till you go to bed? Remember, we're working with 24 hours, for example. Some people are on the phone all the time. Now, you could break that down. Are you on the phone just for leisure, your personal stuff, or are you on the phone conducting business? Are you getting paid for the activities that you engage in throughout the day? And I'm not saying don't participate in and engage in a good deed if you're not incentivized for it, but I'm here to make people question their personal activities at home, their personal activities in their social time, their personal relationships, work. If you're spending about 3 hours on the phone, calling, texting, killing time on social media, and none of it has to do with business, what is your return on investment on that? Don't get me wrong, nurturing and managing relationships takes a lot of effort. But if you're putting out, let's say, for someone who's sleeping through 12 hours in a day, you already have 50% of your day gone. I'm talking about somebody who is healthy and it's not that they're sick. This is situational. They turn it into a habit. I'm going to sleep 12 hours a day, then I only have 12 hours in my waking time. What are you doing? What activities are you participating in? How are you increasing the value of your time? Increasing the value of your time does not mean that your calendar has to fill up completely. And when I see calendars that are completely filled up, that itself may not always be a good thing unless it's situational. Filling up your entire hour every day does not make you any more or less important than somebody else. I have met executives that will run their meetings in 5-minute intervals, literally. It's not hearsay. I've seen it with my own eyes. And these executives are very self-aware of who they are, what their objective is. They figured out productivity hacks for them that work. And then they are able to choose team members and delegate certain responsibilities very wisely that will help them remain on track to honor their commitment. 5 minutes in a meeting, 5 minutes off, 5 minutes in a meeting. It could be in person, it could be on Zoom, it could be on the phone. That's how they work. They knock out these day-to-day commitments as they come in. So they have more time back to take care of themselves, to produce more business, and get time back for their personal commitment. Now, when I look across the last 20 years and different types of work environments that I have contributed to and participated in different capacities, there are places that I frequented where they had a full-time schedule. And the more I think about it, those same places, given the nature of the industry and the type of work that they produce, they could have gotten away by having employees work 20 hours a week. What they would work and accomplish in 20 hours would be no different than a traditional full-time week at that given moment in time. So ask yourself, how has your life changed in the recent years? I find it very interesting when I cross paths of people in person, how they've shared with me how their priorities have shifted, how they value their time, their resources, given the current events of the recent, let's say the last 3 years. People have developed a different relationship with their commitments. And it doesn't mean that they've become less committed, but they've become more cognizant of there are no guarantees in life. You are responsible for your own well-being. Doesn't matter whether you have a career or job or none of the above. And tomorrow is not promised to anybody. Are you going to start focusing more on people and the quality of commitments that you're going to take on? Or are you going to continue chasing this destination that appears to be a black hole? And the only way you could define your destination is by you coming up with a better understanding of who you are. And I have been asked by men and women of, okay, Sasha, where could I start figuring out what I want? And I tell them, I'm sure you've been told that only you will know what you want. I would say start out by organizing your life in terms of the type of company you keep, the type of communication you engage in. How are you feeding your brain? How are you feeding your heart? How are you treating your body? I mean, I could speak on all three of them from my own life experiences, and I've seen the twists and turns. Do you ever spend time alone, or are you someone who needs background noise, whether it's being around people or something simple as having the TV turned on with the volume, but you're not really watching TV, getting in the car, and it might be a reflex where you need to have the radio on? There's always something around you that makes you feel that you have company. There's nothing wrong with it. It could be a coping mechanism for some people. For others, it might be just a habit given the environment that they grew up in. But do you listen to your own thoughts? Could you be left alone with your own thoughts? Do you listen to what your mind is telling you? Do you listen to your heart? Or are you just automatically outsourcing your life decisions and asking everybody else around you what they think, from family, friends? And to a degree, you know, there's a time and place for that. It's okay. But I often encourage people, think for yourself and make your own decisions. Make your decisions, but know that you are the owner of them and you're accountable for the side effects, the good and the bad. You don't get to pick and choose when you take credit for the good and then the bad. You play the victim and you blame any third party outside of you. And keep in mind, we're all a work in progress. I don't sell perfection, because you'd be very disappointed with me. But I'm speaking from experience that once your relationship with time becomes better, don't badmouth time, because time could easily badmouth you and go, okay, well, you're waiting on this. I'm just going to delay it. It won't happen. And stop negotiating with time in a conditional relationship. When this happens, then I will start caring more about my life. You need to start caring more about your life. Then things can unfold. It always begins with us. Doesn't matter what you're going through, good, bad. You could be a skeptic. That is the beauty of your free will. You get to design your life. And I will leave you with those thoughts. One thing that you can consider doing is start auditing your time. How are you investing those 24 hours? Is there self-care in those 24 hours? And when I talk about self-care, this goes beyond taking a shower, brushing your teeth, feeding your body. And also when you're feeding your body, are you feeding your body what you would ideally like to? And remember, not all positive changes and decisions require money. but it does require your commitment and you have to be invested in it. That when people come sharing the changes that they're starting to implement in their life, whether, and I have people sharing with me that they're going on a health kick, or they might want to do weight loss, or they're competing in a competition. I know a lot of marathoners, they're starting a business, or they want to travel the world for a year. All of these things are great and exciting. And I always tell them, if you do it, make sure you're doing it because you are invested in it, and you're not doing it just to make someone else happy. Because this is a lot of commitment of our energy, our time, our emotions, and depending on the goal, also our resources from money, and not all resources are money. That regardless of the outcome of how the process unfolds for you, you don't want to start resenting other people for your decision. Because when people start resenting other people, really, when you scratch the surface deep down, you're resenting yourself because you allowed yourself to engage in these decisions and you weren't listening to your heart. You went along with it. Now, some people may go along with it because they were being nice. It's another thing. We're all human. We've been innocent and naive and made decisions where we had to course correct. But I want to also make sure that as you discover and define this relationship at time, you don't end up resenting yourself. Because when you are doing well, people around you are doing better. And you are just as important to be part of society as everybody else. I will leave you on that note. There are exciting activities being announced and unfolding on the Sasha Talks platform. You're welcome to go to sashatalks.com, click on the contact page, drop a hello, share your thoughts, whether it's a funny story or a source of inspiration. I always look forward to hearing from the audience. I appreciate you. Until next time, be good, be safe, and be blessed.
Train sound in loud, ride on the peace train. Cuba, yeah, Cuba, come on, peace train. It's peace train, holy road. Everyone jump upon the peace train. Cuba, yeah, Cuba, come on, peace train. Now get your bags together. Go, bring your good friends too. It's getting nearer, it soon will be with you. Now come and join the lift. You know, it's not so far from you. And it's getting nearer, soon it will all be too.